Do you think it's hard for, say, younger people today to truly understand what it was like to be in a band back in the 1960s?
I don't believe that today they have any concept of what the heck it was like. I mean, back then you joined a band, you put together your repertoire, you signed with an agent, you went out, you played 20 to 30 times a month, and you got paid. Now you beg to get into a place and you play for free.
And it was a full-time job, literally full-time. Yep. You were on the road all the time, and when you finally got home, that was when you had to invest time in learning new songs, developing new songs, doing recording if you were doing it, and then you're back on the road again.
Yep.
There was no downtime.
No.
I'm thinking to myself, okay, Joker's Wild is playing in Duluth in January. You get to the club at 8 o'clock on a Saturday night. It's about zero out with light snow falling. You wind up the gig, you get outside about 1 a.m., but now you got a foot of snow that's covered your vehicle. Now it's 10 below with a 30 below wind chill, and you've got to scrape your car off. And how many times does the battery go dead?
I don't think we had that problem with ours, because if we were worried about it, we used to start it on brakes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but you'd have to load up all that equipment in the cold.
Yep, and drive to the next one or back to the cities.
And you never want it to be late.
No, we always showed up, like you said, you show up at 8 o'clock to play at 9 o'clock. We always showed up way early. We were always wanted our equipment warm, and we started on time. We were a very punctual band.
Danny, I don't know the specifics. Maybe you can help answer the question about the award from the National Ballroom Owners Association.
I have it, and I know we got it.
Did you win an award, the band?
Yes. Yeah, we did. But
for professionalism.
I think we were busy and on the road at that time, and Dave and Anthony went in our place and received it and brought it back.
But the point is, we did not look like the dependable, respectable type. However, this was strictly business. We were always punctual, there on time.
Did you ever get tired of all the traveling? And
never.
Never. That's what you're there for.
It was fun?
Yep.
Do you think music is still fun these days?
Yes. Music can be still a lot of fun these days.
I think it could be really hard for musicians. I have two sons that both tried to run at the hill, and as Denny mentioned earlier, the ability to find work was so difficult, they just couldn't make a living out of it.
I think a lot of the thing is with the DWIs and the DUIs right now have limited all these places from having a good turnout. And, you know, unfortunately, the small portion of the people that caused the problem have caused it big for everybody. So now a lot of people don't go out to bars anymore because they don't want to have one or two drinks and then, you know, drive home. They're afraid. So I think the Mothers Against Drunk Driving and the DUIs and all that have affected all these clubs. So many places went out of business. So many places can't afford to pay big bucks for a band. That's why a lot of bands go in there and they say, well, how many people can you bring? And then you're paid accordingly. If you bring 100 people that run up a big bar tab, they can pay you. If not, you can't.
Do you have a favorite Joker's Wild song?
Oh, gosh, yes. I liked Witch.
Whose song is Witch?
It was a Lonnie Knight song, and it was, I thought, very innovative, creative on his part. It had, I don't know the name of the little instrument he played, the flute, the recorder.
Recorder, it was a recorder.
Recorder in it. And it was just an example of what I thought Joker's Wild should sound like.
That's on Liquid Giraffe, right?
Yes.
And Denny, how about you? A favorite Joker's Wild song?
I like Peace Man. Peace Man had that romp, 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 da 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 down, bam. That was just an ass-kicker song, I thought, back then.
Tell me about the Alps.
The Alps was an A-framed nightclub located in Bloomington on the south side of 494. at about Chicago Avenue. This club had a kind of an older group than you would see at the Magoo's area. And on Sunday nights, Danny Reasons was typically the weekend band there, and he would pack the place. People just everywhere in the building. And it was an exciting club. We played there on, I think, for about 2 months as their weekday house band. And they had an agreement with the city of Bloomington that the decibel level outside had to be managed to the point that they actually had a sensor that would turn on a red light on the stage if we played too loud. And once the red light came on, the owner of the place was expected to either tell the band to be quiet or turn the band off, which he had to do to keep his liquor license. So I actually played with the cardboard part of coat hangers for drumsticks at some point in our playing there.
So did you trigger the red light?
Always.
Always. I couldn't hit the snare drum at full smack without triggering the light.
The light was actually set at a ridiculous number just to keep safe, but we had that red light on all the time.
So what would happen?
They would pull a plug on us from time to time.
Yep.
And you would just stop playing?
Well, we could keep playing, but no one would know. Well, they'd hear the drums, but nothing else.
Yeah.
And then eventually they'd turn your power back on?
Back on, say, we'll give you another try. Here we go.
And the decibel, they were concerned about the decibel rating outside of the club?
Yes, there was a trailer park to the west of the club.
Across the street, yeah.
Yeah.
Who used to complain that the noise was too...
Well, it was part of the conditional use permit when they opened the club that they would never bother the neighbors.
Oh.
Which, that's not real realistic.
Yeah, you always bother the neighbors.
Any other odd or unusual or unique clubs you recall from that era?
Foley?
Where? Foley?
Foley.
Oh, Foley Ballroom. Parkway Ballroom in Foley. Whoa. That was fights there all the time. I mean, sometimes we would be playing on stage and we'd have glasses broken at our feet. We'd have people's heads shoved down, slammed against the stage. It was a nightmare. There was blood and broken bones at that place.
And that was the culture of the club. People came there from different geographical areas on per a schedule, I believe, to fight. You know, guys from the range would come down to fight the farmers. And I remember one night when we got our equipment packed up and we were going in to get paid, where the owner and the bouncer were actually fighting. Rough club.
Yeah. Mm. What goes around comes around.
Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts. It was just, Joker's Wild was a great ride. It really was. From start all through the David Wagner thing, all through the Lonnie Knight, and all the way up to the end was, to me, just great. I mean, you couldn't replace it. It was that good.
And I felt the same way. It was like a band guy's dream come true. We had a lot of work, played a lot of great places, got to express ourselves, got to be innovative, got to travel all over the country, got to have a nice house near Lake of the Isles, and it was just a great experience.
Yeah, we used to play back in the 60s. We used to play in like the summer months, you know, June, July, August. We used to play at least 26 out of 30 days. That's all one-nighters, different places. That's not like you go into a place and set up and you're there for a week. These are all one-nighters. You drove from next job to next job.
Denny, Pete, thank you for taking the time to share with us the story of Joker's Wild.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Pete.
And I hope you can make it to the Alps.
I'd love to go to the Alps.
We'd love to send you there, Tom.
The preceding interview was recorded on January 31st, 2015 at Sunrise Sound in Rogers, Minnesota, and was produced by Denny Johnson and Tom Campbell. The copyright owner of this interview is MiniPaulMusic.com.